Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
And the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. And today is our Memorial Day celebration 128. And if you need to call in, we'd love to hear your questions or comments. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. And we'd also like to let everybody know that we are now partnered with another radio show. You can go to, it's called Impact Player Music National Radio. And it is the link on our website. It's the same call-in number, 646-200-4169. But now there's another option for listening to us live on a different radio show. So you can pick that up on our website. We've got a direct link on the homepage. Our website's www.whyagain.com. That's whyagain.com. So we're excited that the radio program is now growing and expanding and more opportunities for people to tune in different ways other than just on Blog Talk. And so that's great. So if you have a call or a question, we'd love to hear from you. Again, today is our Memorial Day celebration, day number 128. And Michael will talk a little more about what that means here in a few minutes. And if you're in the Florida area, we're getting ready here at the end of October, which is just like 3 weeks away. We're going to be heading out and we'll be on our tour. So if you're in Florida, we've got open space for some more venues. We'd love to come to your city and to present. Michael, are you on? Hello, Michael. Okay, Michael's not with us yet. So I'll keep talking. Hello. Oh, there he is.
Sweetie, I didn't realize it, but I had my mute button on, so my apology.
I've done that before.
There you go. So, good morning, good afternoon, everyone. We're in the beautiful Ozark Mountains today at Heartland. It's this awesome day. It's about 75 degrees, sunny, blue skies. We're just getting this awesome fall weather. Our spring and fall here is just fabulous. So, we greet you from the Ozarks. And when Jeannie mentioned the honoring of Memorial Day, what we are inviting everyone on the show to do on a daily basis is to engage in the process of forgiveness around some issue in your life where you have some form of hostility or fear, whatever's going on in your world. And maybe you believe that your hostility or fear is about somebody else, but the truth is, it's not about anybody else. It's, you know, when we're in it, it's about us. And so the willingness to forgive, the willingness not to let them off the hook, but to go inside ourselves, to delve deeply into the hidden parts of our own minds and to process through those parts, becomes the dynamic that's going to change this insanity on planet Earth called war. So we invite you to join us in ending that insanity and bringing forward a sane world, bringing forward a world where we put an end to the trauma, to the pain, to the insanity that war brings. So we're here to support you in that, and if you're not familiar with that mean, with what the forgiveness process means or what our forgiveness conversation is about, without having to go through the whole thing on each show, we'll just invite you to jump on our website, www.whyagain.com. On the right-hand side, there's a link that says Download Worksheets. First four links will give you the whole forgiveness story straight from the Aramaic. and exactly how this internal process of forgiveness works. So in a nutshell, if I forgive, I end my hostility and fear. If I stay in blame and I let other people off the hook, then I get to stay in blame. So that's, in essence, where we want to go, is to take responsibility for that, which is in us, that's based in hostility or fear, and to be willing to let go of it. So we're delighted that you're here on the show with us. Jeannie, do we have any comments in the chat room? Any questions from anyone?
No, nobody has their hand up, and we've only got a couple of people in the chat room. I told them to let me know if they had any comments or questions, but everybody's listening right now. We did also want to mention there's a another co-host on the Earth Angels Radio program, Mark Simple. And
yes,
he has had a son and his son's wife and a friend that were involved in a car accident yesterday, and two lives were lost, and Mark's son is in a coma. So we want to hold them in a special place, special prayer. That has to be a challenge.
And, yeah, we'll hold just a moment of silence and seeing Mark and his family being in a connected space of love to deal with all that's going on in this really difficult time. And we just hold you in our hearts and send you our love. And the two that were killed in the accident, your son's wife and their friend, we certainly send them love and light and see them being able to move directly into the love of God at this moment, at this time, moving in into that direct, absolute experience of love. And your son, we hold the space that the highest and best for him comes out of this tragedy. And that healing occurs and ripples throughout the family as this happens. So we breathe for you and with you, Mark, and your whole family. So is David with us today? Is Tim with us today?
Dr. Tim is. David is not on.
Okay. Well, I had talked to David this morning, and he has lots going on in his world over in Louisville. So he's definitely opening the space for a tragedy similar. For those who are not have not been on the show, David is the property manager, center manager at Heartland, and 2 weeks ago, Sunday morning, he woke up to a phone call that his son had died. And his son was 37, in the prime of his life. And David is opening the space in the whole community. He's a very popular young man, a businessman. Over 600 people showed up at his funeral. And David's really working in that community to support healing the fear, the anger. I spoke with him this morning, and one young man that was a friend of his son's called him and is just in total, complete rage. Just, and a family system that reflects the kind of rage that that this man has been brought up with and has lived with all his life. And so children who are in trouble around the same kinds of issues. And so we just really acknowledge David for his willingness to face his grief, and he has faced it on such deep levels, several conversations, such deep, deep levels. Instead of going into the family pattern of rage and denial, he's just stayed right with it and is opening the space in the whole community for that to happen. So, David, we acknowledge you and hold you in our hearts and in our love and in our prayers. And Dr.
And we do
Tim,
have a caller.
Oh, cool. Well, let's just say a quick hello to Dr. Tim and we'll go to our caller.
Well, good afternoon. I'm doing quite well.
Sir?
Doing well. And holding space to love for all involved. Glad to hear that David is where he needs to be. And let's jump right into the caller and see what's happening.
Awesome. Welcome.
Okay. Area code 804. You are on the air. Who do we have and where are you calling from?
This is the president of the International Fan Club, Guru Rice, Edward from Las Vegas.
Hi, Edward.
Well, hey there, Edward. How are you?
Oh, my gosh. If I told you that I'm finished doing the work, would you believe that, Michael?
No, not for a minute, but I'm sure you've made some quantum leaps from what you've been sharing with me the last few months.
Well, thanks to you, I finally came to a conclusion that my emotions are definitely under my control and that my feelings are what I want them to be. And so I created a situation to test that. I received a phone call on Thursday afternoon from a third party saying that her pocketbook had been stolen and that my check was in her pocketbook. And she wanted to inform me what happened very lovely, very nicely. And I said, well, okay, well, I'll take care of it. And don't you worry about a thing. I know how to do these kind of things. And so I took care of it. And it was really just very interesting when the loss prevention gentleman at the bank started talking about all the consequences and the fear and identity theft and that my identity had been compromised. I all of a sudden just realized that those rules don't apply to Edward. And so as I instructed him what to do, and he said, finally, you don't even, are you sure you want to close this account out? There are alternative options. And he says, then you have other things that you have to take care of if you close your account out completely. And it was interesting. I was so confident, Michael, that he finally said to me some things, and I said, do me a favor. While you were engaged in talking, just delete my account. Just push the delete button, sir, and tell me there's no more checking account for Edward. I could not get him to stop talking, sir. And I realized at that point, gosh, Edward, you are really taking care of yourself, and you don't even care what the banker is telling you. It's all about Edward. It's not what you're creating, this fantasy and illusion that I'm going to go broke. And so I got it all taken care of. But the interesting thing is how I felt after I got off the call. And what I felt was a sense of accomplishment and a feeling of that I was in control of what was going on. And even though I knew I had some business matters to take care of, it was interesting to see that heretofore I might have gotten very panicky and gone into, oh, my gosh, what's going to be my future? I could see that using your methodology, and I finally got down to where I said, I just cancel anything from the past that is going to move me into this delusional thinking. I'm going to see peace for the person who stole the check. I'm going to see peace for Edward. And I'm going to see that I can still extend love in this universe in spite of what the appearance of it is. So, yes, I've gotten everything straightened out. Because of your techniques, I've learned to not react, but respond in a very peaceful way.
Well, Edward, that's really powerful and awesome. And, you know, there's that ancient scriptural thought that says, to those who believe in love, all things work together for good. And that when I choose to bring a human life to bear on any situation, whatever the travesty or the tragedy appears to be, I can use it and bring forward good into the world. And so not only has some good come, maybe the banker heard you, and you certainly achieved and attained a new level of conscious awareness of your human life as a human being called love, but we also got a call the other day from the young lady who had her purse stolen. And it was an awesome interaction and worksheet for her to do and to look at an issue in her life of self-blame, because that's where she was headed with it, and could see that this whole scene was an opportunity to heal her self-blame, and lo and behold, all of a sudden her purse reappears, and everything's intact except a little bit of money that was in it. So
I think we're talking about the same situation, Dr. Rice.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But I'm just telling you, I called her back after I took, after I had the conversation with the bank, and I invited her and her husband to dinner. I was more concerned about what she was going through, and it just made me feel like, even though I could understand, and I was worried, I was really concerned about her situation, that I wanted to be with those people that night and assure them that everything had been taken care of, and no matter what steps I had to continue on over in, on Monday, it had nothing to do with her. It was just a happening in the universe, and we certainly could come together in love for the person who we helped out a little bit with a little cash.
Well, that's, you know, that's the, instead of the old hostility and fear game, you know, let's blame this guy, let's make sure he goes to jail, and we're creating all kinds of trauma in our own bodies, that conscious response as a human being. Edward, that's awesome. I applaud you and appreciate you.
Well, thank
for
you
for your willingness to pick up the tools and use them and to do that. It's fabulous.
Thank you. That's
what I would call the conscious use of the law of love. And if you remember, that was the first law.
Mm-hmm.
All the rest of them are meaningless until we get that one. So it sounds like you're integrating that one on a whole new level.
Well, I had to have that experience to put it into practice. And I really have so much respect for the lady that was the involved in the whole situation. She handled herself absolutely extremely loving with me. And she's a very special lady in our group. I just want to let you know that, Michael.
She is a sweetie, isn't she? She's really been doing her work.
She has. There's no more worksheets left in the universe. She's got them all.
Well, fortunately, it's an abundant supply.
Well, thank you, Michael. I've enjoyed talking with you this morning. As you
all know. Right, we love you. And that's just
we
awesome.
Love you.
Thank you. Sharing that with
you now, Michael. You bet.
Oh, what fun. What awesome happenings occur when we wake up and utilize truth and the presence of love in our lives instead of being counseled by hostility and fear. And Dr. Tim, I really appreciated the input you had on the show the other day of, you know, that twist on hostility and fear coming up is informing us that there's something going on inside of us to look at. It's not something that's meant to be used for guidance. And that when we select a direction to go, when we choose to function out of a certain set of principles, sometimes it's not so easy to function on those principles, but it is possible and it does make monumental and awesome changes.
Yeah, we get to see that on a regular basis in the Mind Shifters group and in my practice with people, that often it's so contradictory to the way people have been raised that it seems absolutely absurd. But once people drop into that experience, the change is so powerful that it blows them away. What is actually possible on the other end is so different from what they had ever imagined that they're just shocked.
Yeah, I'm in full agreement on that one. It is pretty amazing when we respond out of being and love rather than, you know, the whole idea, and we've talked about this a couple times before, but just recognizing that there are laws by which this universe operates. They're not the rules of an authority. They're simply the result of the way the eternal forces work, and that law of love becomes the primary. And that when we choose, and of course, how do you define love? How do you define a human life? Just go and hold a newborn child. There aren't enough words to squeeze in the definition or the experience of a human life. And it's so bizarre. Our culture has degraded so far. Oh, we have all this stuff, all this wonderful, you know, all these wonderful things. But the truth is we've degraded so far that the direct experience of love I can't tell you how many times over the years I've had somebody, when I talk about love, come up to me afterward and say, Michael, when you say that word, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't even know what you mean. And it's amazing how many people have lived in such hostility and fear and have no idea that something else is possible. And so, you know, man has misunderstood the meaning of the word law, thinking that it's because of the misuse of pretended authorities that want to gain control of them, that law is the rule of a superior, and it's not. It's absolutely the most wonderful friend we could have. It's how the universe works. And men create rules, ordinances, regulations, and decrees, and usually they're designed to be a control mechanism over others. And if you go back to the ancient teachings, it was a requirement that you not obey those rules and regulations if they're not in harmony with the law. That was a requirement. And to wake up and recognize that these eternal forces operate whether we like it or not. You know, strictly speaking, laws are never broken. It's we who get broken by our avoidable collisions with them. They operate without regard to status or station. There are no choices as to how they operate. There, as the ancient teaching said, they're no respecter of persons. You know, the law of gravity doesn't care if you're the president or the pauper. At the bottom of the cliff, bones break, and the law sustains absolutely no fracture. And as the world of physics tells us, the laws are a result of eternal forces. That's not only a physics idea that comes out of the ancient Aramaic, where they understood exactly how this world operated. And so these laws are knowable and they're usable only by those who understand how to honor them. And I think Edward just gave us a really powerful example of, I decided to honor my human life instead of getting into some sort of upset and, oh, look what they've done, and, you know, oh, you know, look what you did. You should have guarded your purse. You should have, all the stuff that could go in a downward cycle for everybody touched by it. To one conscious person saying, or actually two, because she did a great job of it too, ah, I'm a human being, I am love. I think I'll maintain and speak my words out of my human beingness rather than out of my hostility or fear. And a whole spiral of upward events happened instead of a spiral of downward events. That, to me, is the best documentation there is that this law of love is primary. And, you know, men have always tried to escape this idea of law and spurned it like it was an enemy rather than something that was at their beck and call once they understood how to operate within it. So there's actually a whole course we do called Laws of Living, and there's certainly great profit in the study and understanding of the law. But many, not knowing or understanding how these laws work, get lost in them. You know, airplanes don't fly because they violate the laws of gravity. They operate, and when we operate within them, we can fly. Many people lost their lives trying to fly, but because they didn't understand the laws of gravity and aerodynamics, they died trying. The law of gravity carried on. The law of love will carry on with or without you. If we honor the law of gravity, we get to get in airplanes and fly. If we honor the law of love, we get to transform the insanity in our family systems, in our cultures, in our churches, in our businesses, in our homes. We get to transform those things to sanity. So, Jeannie, do we have any other comments or questions in the chat room or callers?
We do not. There's just several people out there listening, but one of the things that I was just reading is I received an email from Maria, who was who was at the intensive, and talking about insanity and families and everything. She just sent me this, and it's that there is a 12-year-old child in Florida who in January of this year, he broke his little 2-year-old brother's leg, and then in March, he killed him. And so they've got Christian at 12 years old they're trying him as an adult, and he's going to get life in prison with no parole. And if you read his history, his mother gave birth to him when she was 12 years old. And so here's a child raising a child, but then his stepfather beat on him so badly and everything that there was one time he went to school and he had a huge, his eye and everything was swollen, and so the school took him to the hospital, and my computer just crashed. And then when they went to arrest the stepfather for beating, the stepfather had taken a gun and blown his head off in front of the other children. And when the police got there, the other children were, like, covered in blood. And so this is the kind of insanity that this child was raised up in, and all he knew was the beatings and things like that. And so then he follows through, and, you know, whether he intentionally did it or not, you know, he needs help to get beyond this, not put in prison for the rest of his life. But it's just some of the insanity that you're talking about.
Yeah. That's really pretty heavy-duty stuff, a 12-year-old boy. And, you know, unfortunately, we have penal systems. We have systems based in penance. Well, if you just make up for the wrong you did, then everything's going to be okay. Excuse me, folks, that insanity is never going to cut it. What we need to do is open the space for healing. This young man needs support and healing from an insane set of circumstances that he was brought up in and were imploded into his mind and body. And to open the space for healing, but of course there is a faction in our culture, you know, this young man will be tried and go through all of that and squeezed out of the taxpayers' pockets over his lifetime as a result of this event will be millions of dollars. You are going to pay millions of dollars for this young man to be incarcerated and for his trial and for his defense and for all that will go on, when we could have a culture that operates by law. And a culture that operates by law, does this young man need to be held accountable for his behavior? Oh, absolutely. I wouldn't suggest for a minute that he not be held accountable. However, putting him in a penance system where if we beat up on you often enough and long enough, then things will be balanced, simply adds to the insanity in our world. And nobody has to enter into that man's jail cell in order to experience the insanity that will be imposed on him. The insanity and the abuse that he's going to take in that system will impact every one of us on an energetic level. And when enough of us stand up and speak up and wake up and say, wait a minute, this is insane. This hostility, fear, retribution is insanity. What we need is to open a space for healing a young man's life, for healing a family system that brings forward a child to a 12-year-old, that brings forward a suicide. We need to start addressing the issues of a culture that is so insane that we could possibly, in the midst of all of our abundance and all of our genius, that could possibly bring forward such a result into our world. And guess how it heals? It heals by the operation of and the action of law. If we could bring one conscious, sane person living a human life as the active presence of love into this scenario with this young man and his family, one person who had tools and could change those dynamics could change the whole world. And we invite you to join us in doing everything that you can do to bring forward that level of healing, to bring forward the presence of love in something that is otherwise, of course, in normal human terms, unlovable. As Edward shared with us earlier in the show, and that's just an example of exactly what we're talking about. If you look at the example where Edward brought love forward, the woman whose purse was stolen brought love forward and changed the dynamic, how different could our world be instead of, well, we just step into punishment and blame. We found the guilty party. If we just punish them often enough and deeply enough, then everything will be okay. Excuse me, folks. We put this young man in prison for his life. Everything's not going to be okay. And you and I are impacted by it. It's time for us to step up and do something. And living without tools is a difficult way to live.
So, Michael?
Yes, sir.
I would suggest that we bring more immediacy to this and say, for anyone who was listening to Jeannie's description of this 12-year-old's life and what he's facing now, what he's done, what was done to him, etc., anybody who had any kind of an emotional reaction to that that was less than love and compassion, if they go to the website and download the worksheet and start doing a few worksheets on it, they will be helping the very process you're describing of moving from punishment to love and compassion, removing from my system the upset I feel when I hear a description of a child being abused is the most practical thing I can do to help change that reality in my mind and change the energetic output. So I just wanted to put that out there, that with that reading are dozens of worksheets for all of us to do until we have a clear, loving space we can hold, not only for that 12-year-old, but for the other adults who were engaged in hurtful activities toward him, because there's nothing surer than the fact that those adults were also in abusive and painful situations in their childhood as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm in full agreement, sir. I am with you on that 100%. So if anyone has a go ahead.
I like the way Guy Finley talks about it, and he says, you are going to be stuck in the rut of being angry at the people who have hurt you until you wake up and realize that you can't prevent yourself from doing the same thing to others. And once you have that realization, then you open the possibility for compassion. Until you remove everything that's less than love from your system, you're in the same mess as somebody who's actually acting out of that anger and fear.
I'm in full agreement with him. And it's certainly an awesome opportunity, a powerful opportunity to bring change to the world. And, of course, it's always going to remain for someone who's got the awareness to bring the change. The change isn't going to happen on its own. It's going to take somebody with the awareness. So, Dr. Tim, I join with you in that suggestion of each of us doing our work around the healing process and moving into the space of connected love, really truly being able to look at and contemplate the situation and hold compassion for the child that died, to hold compassion for the father, stepfather that committed suicide, to hold, and someone might say, well, but why would that person deserve compassion? Look, he beat up on a little boy and he committed suicide. Why, he should go to hell. Well, I guess that's one perspective, but what do you suppose the energy of a newborn would do with all of that? A except be a space of compassion and healing for each person involved. Now, there's an awesome set of ideas in the Course in Miracles that says only two things are real. There's love, and then there's a cry for love. But if someone's cry for love resonates some sort of pain in you, then it becomes something other than a cry for love. It becomes some sort of drama or trauma that comes from your own mind. And so we're inviting everybody to look at what has gone on in your mind around issues of abuse, physical abuse, emotional abuse. I know that over the years I've worked with a lot of people through suicides of close family members. And it's an horrendous, horrendous experience to go through and to deal with. And with the active presence of love, that first law, something different happens. Any more thoughts for us, Tim?
Well, just the thought of hope that the activities like this have been happening on our planet since the dawn of humanity. And it might seem like it's worse than ever because of the media making us all aware of it. But the hopeful side is that the media also makes it possible for us to share these tools and spread the news to more and more people and eventually tip the balance in favor of love and compassion. And I haven't finished it yet. I can't recommend it yet, but I'm reading yet another book about the message that Jesus or Yeshua was trying to leave. And it seems as though even another author has the ancient Aramaic message of love above all and has put it into a novel form. So the word is getting out there in more and more channels, and more people are experiencing the benefits of it, and I think it's quite a hopeful thing.
Yeah, and it's interesting to see the way that the structure of the culture is set up to void any conversation about that. That when you start speaking about the law of love, what arouses in most people's minds is, oh, well, that's about religion, so we don't do that because there's a law against religion here. So it doesn't enter oftentimes into the places that it's most desperately needed. In other words, an assessment done by the Department of Education and the police in Los Angeles several years ago of the behavior problems in schools. And back in the 50s, the behavior problems were things like chewing gum in school, throwing paper on the floor, getting out of line at recess, you know, things like that. And then you come up into the late 90s, and the problems are things like rape and gangs and murder, and it's just on and on and on goes the insanity. Why is that? What's happened that in 1950, in a short 60 years, actually, the second statistics, I think, were 99. So in less than 50 years, that we went from the problems being based in chewing gum in class, throwing paper, stepping out of line at recess, and now there are things like rape and murder and drugs and alcohol. What happened? Jeannie, I know you wrote a paper on this some time ago. Would you like to share some of that with us?
You're talking about the original paper that I did several years ago for English?
Yeah.
Well, I don't have anything in front of me. I'm still waiting for my computer to come up, so I'm kind of in limbo here. But yeah, I pulled the actual statistics of when prayer and reading of the scriptures was removed from school. And at that you can look at the charts I had graphed and everything of stuff from teen pregnancies to drug abuse to divorces in homes to, I can't even remember now what all of the categories were, but in every category, from the, and this is like a 30-year study, looking from the time that prayer was removed from school and reading the scriptures was removed from school, that all of those things skyrocketed. And they looked at both like Christian schools and public schools and compared those, and that the stats in the Christian school were still, you know, kind of the same line, no worse, no better. And so the only difference was removing God from people's lives, from one of the areas, I mean, the developmental stages when they're in school and everything, and to say that that's unconstitutional or whatever their excuse was. But you can look at all of the stats, and everything increasingly, I mean, dramatically got worse when we removed the moral and spiritual aspect of life from the part of teaching of the children.
And, of course, people think of that as religion, and that's been a clever ruse to get rid of and keep people in their hostility and fear. And the truth is, none of it's about religion in its origins. It's about, here's how the world works. Here are the laws of the universe when you understand them and apply them. And here's the recipe for a sane world. The recipe for a sane world is fixed, and it can't be violated. And if you use the recipe to create an insane world, then you end up with insanity. And people go, gee, we don't know why this has happened. Why in 50 years did we go from, you know, chewing gum being one of the major problems in school to rape being a major problem in school? If you remove awareness of the active presence of love from people's lives, if you remove awareness of who we are as human beings, and if you have any question about who you are as a human being, just go hold a newborn, and you know exactly what constitutes your human life. We need more people to understand that experience and to be willing to maintain that experience above all else. That's when we're going to see a shift and a change take place. So when you get to the original idea of laws, they're eternal forces, and those laws, they don't state what should be done or should not be done. There's none of that in the law. And the law, the real law, the result of the eternal forces, doesn't stipulate any punishment. That law is created by forces that shape and control nature. And they tell us what will take place. That's all. If we understand, they simply inform us. Well, here's what's going to take place if you go in this direction. If you go in the direction of a hostile, fearful, punishing world, then you can expect things like rape and murder and abuse and drugs and such to become normal in younger and younger ages. That's just a recipe. And so as you wake up to, there is a law about maintaining your human life, and it speaks of, you know, love of neighbor. What would love of neighbor dictate would happen with this young man if we think of him as our neighbor rather than so many people are up in arms, look at the terrible thing he did, or his father? What would love of neighbor be? Well, it would walk into carrying a space of active love with it into the presence of that child, into the presence of that child's father. And it would invite them to look at what is going on in their world and show them literally how to forgive, how to remove from themselves that pain, that anger, that rage, that hatred, that violence, that viciousness, and that trauma. When one does violence and viciousness, everyone around that's in pain is in pain because of their own violence and viciousness. When each one that observes that and is feeling some sort of pain about it chooses to forgive their own violence and viciousness, they bring healing not only to themselves but to their own family systems and to those who are trapped, unknowingly, unwittingly trapped in this world of grief and pain and insanity. Humans are not designed for grief and pain and insanity. We're designed to live as the active presence of love. So these laws describe effects, describe what's going to happen. You know, an example, the law of gravity describes the effects that are unfailingly caused by the force called gravity. Now, the phenomenon in nature may be described by a man in many different ways, but it will always predict that material objects have an attraction for each other and provide a basis for calculating, I mean, right down to the orbits of satellites circling Earth. We only do that because we understand the law of gravity. This law tells us how it all works. The law of love is no different. There are mental and emotional laws as surely as there are so-called physical laws in the universe. There are determinants as to how things are going to turn out. And we wake up, we get to play consciously in those laws. I like to tongue-in-cheek use the example of, you know, imagine that you're building yourself this beautiful new 3,000-square-foot home, and you need somebody to wire it, and you decide that you're going to hire my great-great-grandmother. Now, imagine that you know that a month or a week after the wiring is done, you're going to be sound asleep at 3 in the morning in your bed in that house when the power's turned on. How many would want to hire my great-great-grandmother to wire your house and be asleep at 3 in the morning when the power's turned on? No, the house is probably going to burn down. She doesn't know anything about the laws of electricity. If you don't know anything about the laws of love, your relationships, your life is burning down. And if your life is burning down, if your relationship with your children, with your parents, with your neighbors is burning down, it's time to understand the law of love. Now, that doesn't mean that you're in control of everything that everybody else does, but you are in charge of what you do. And you can choose to maintain a life based in love in the presence of all forms of insanity. And when you do, those things change. And that's what we are here to learn, to teach, and to support on a planet-wide scale. Jeannie, any questions or thoughts?
We do. We have two hands up. And the first one, I'm not real sure because my computer went down and come back up, so I don't know if this is still Edward. It's area code 804. So we'll see if it's Edward or somebody else or if you have something else to say. 804?
804, you're on the air. Who are we speaking to? Where are you calling from?
Well, I hope I didn't press the button by mistake, did I?
Okay, that's fine. We just wanted to make sure you didn't have something else.
Well, maybe it was in divine order because after that profound insight of Michael's, I was thinking about how the loss prevention gentleman at the bank told me that the bank couldn't do anything to help me with my relationship with Social Security, that I would have to go through a process of notifying them that a new account had been opened. And I noticed my reactions while I was talking to him, and I had this judgment about him making such a definitive statement. But I did not say anything to him, and I went to the bank yesterday, and when I sat down at the desk, as I introduced myself and told them how pleased I was with the way the transaction was handled, I said to the banker, is there any process that you people can communicate with Social Security and get this new account so that I will get my deposits made automatically? And she said, no one's ever asked me that question before, so I can't give you an answer, but I'll ask my manager. And so I said to her, you know, what a nice attitude you have. And I said, I will tell you this, at the end of this conversation here, I would like to call your supervisor and compliment them on the quality of service that I'm getting here and such a nice attitude here this morning here. And she said, happy to do this for you. So she left the desk and came back with the manager. And the manager said, we'll be glad to take care of you for you, Mr. Brown. We will notify Social Security and you don't have to do anything. So it's a lesson in love that no matter whether by appearance someone says no to me, and I start processing my judgment of how dare you say no to Edward. Now what I do is I just say, when somebody says no to me, I say, well, what am I getting out of this whole thing? Why, how can I change this moment and just see love in the relationship no matter what the expectation is? And it's just very successful processing for me, Michael.
Awesome. Conscious creation, that's what we're here for.
Well, thank you, folks.
Now imagine if every person on the planet were all of a sudden to be that conscious about every interaction in their lives. How different could our world be?
Well, not only that, when we're talking about why is all this happening to us in our civilization globally, and I'm watching WCNBC right now, and the news is very negative. Globally, we're on an impending crisis, recession, down a beaten path of doom and gloom. My attitude is there are always pockets in every area that somebody tells me business is bad, but I can tell you right now, everybody talks about how bad business is, and in my hometown of Richmond, Virginia, Tiffany's just opened up their 8th store 4 weeks ago. And you're telling me that business is bad? Tiffany stock is getting ready to split, and they're on a huge expansion program globally. And a little town like Richmond gets a Tiffany's. That only tells you how they see the prognosis and the potentiality of being successful.
Right. Yeah. Yes, the times, they are changing. There's going to be lots to, you know, one of the cool thoughts that I enjoy about creating our lives is that there's an abundance of everything, and that includes an abundance of poverty for those that choose it.
There's not only that, what about my own processing of, do I create a consciousness of my own personal, you know, abundance, or do I get caught up in the mob effect of saying, you know, you people are telling me how bad things are and how the world is going to that we're going to go into catastrophic mode here eventually. I don't see any of that because I keep saying to myself, whatever happens out there on the outside, I get to experience my own inner interpretation of it. And trust me, if the world collapses, folks, Edward will be in the wilderness, in the forest, and I will be surviving, selling something to somebody else that they need because I've discovered how to merchandise successfully, and I will be one of the ones that will be surviving in spite of the appearance because I believe in my own inner strength and self-confidence, and my potentiality is rushing towards me every second with goodness and love.
Awesome. Sounds like you're on track there, sir.
Thank you very much. Joy talking with you folks.
We appreciate you. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Love you. Bye-bye.
Love you too. Jeannie, we've got another caller.
We did, but they just hung up. I think it was a Minnesota area code 952. So if you're still listening, please call back in. You were next on the air. We are down to about 6 minutes, but they just hung up just as Edward was saying bye. So maybe they'll call back in here in a minute.
952, if you can make a connection again, we'd love to hear from you. And are there any comments in the chat room? Dr. Tim, do you have anything to share?
No comments in the chat room.
Yeah, I'm just getting ready to wrap it up and go get ready for another series of sessions. But I enjoyed the discussion. I just want to leave with the positive spin on this, that if I had something get stirred up in me today of a negative nature, I have gratitude for the tools that have been made available that you've discovered, Michael, that you share with us so freely, and with my awareness that those tools are very powerful and effective in removing those negative feelings, the thoughts that cause them, and the emotions themselves. So I just want to leave us with that, and look forward to talking to you again tomorrow.
All right, sir. We appreciate you. You have a blessed one.
Take care.
Okay. Thank you, Tim.
You're welcome, Jeannie. Bye-bye.
There's an interesting quote from a book that goes back to, 1768, I believe it was. Anyway, 18 years before the Declaration of Independence, there's a gentleman named Emmerich de Vattel, and he wrote a book called The Law of Nations, and he advances the concept. And so, you know, let's get over the idea that teaching love is religious. And so here's Vattel, and what he's saying is, the great end of every being endowed with intellect and sentient, that is feeling, it is his contention that by studying the nature of man, it was possible to discover the rules of behavior that lead to happiness, and that such rules constitute eternal, unalterable, universally operative natural laws in human affairs. And then, of course, 18 years later, in the Declaration of Independence, it is our God-given right to pursue happiness. And so here we are with the option of doing that, and a nation that was founded to support us in that pursuit of happiness. So there's cause law, there's effect law. We're looking to realize in very simple terms that we have the ability to interact with cause law, especially on the level of that law of love. And that while there's a part of us that may want to do vengeance and attack and all that other stuff, none of that is a part of our true nature. That's all a learned response. And our learned responses create around us a result. And the result is just like the learned response. And so we're here to support you in living out of your original human essence, the absolute awesome presence of love, and to bring that presence into every conflict, every situation that you see around you. Even if it's something you're never going to interact with, if people would just sit and watch, if they're going to watch the news, hold the space of love each time they watch the next atrocity repeated. And you'll notice how this culture engages in the recipe of insanity. It puts before our minds, day in, day out, 24/7, 365. I mean, how many stations are dedicated to making sure that you hear about the most terrible things that are going on the planet, gathering it from every corner of the earth, 24/7, 365. And, yeah, maybe once in 3 hours you might hear one positive thing that happened, but the rest of it is just filled with scouring the earth for what kinds of terrible things can we find to talk about and frighten people with, because people are attracted to those things that abhor them. People are attracted to those things that frighten them because they have fright in them. Forgiveness removes the fright. And then you get to the point where you have no interest in those things. And when those things show up, living a true human life, you hold to the active presence of love. If you happen to turn your attention to something like that, you continue to breathe, and as you breathe, and as you hold the presence of love, you transform in yourself whatever it is that takes you out of love. You transform in those around you whatever it is that takes them out of love. We're here to support you in living a true human life. And as you really, truly live an actual human life, you will create the best year yet of your eternal life. And we are delighted to be here in supporting you in producing that in your world. Have a blessed day. Bring a stranger with you tomorrow. Blessings.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.